It's Tuesday, 20th of January. It's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Fran Jeff.
Hello.
And Velt.
Hi, how are you doing?
Welcome back to your second podcast.
Yeah.
We've got several things to talk about, as always, but we'll start with what's everyone been playing. Fran Jeff, what have you been up to?
I've been playing Super Mario Maker 2 still. Ooh. Just sort of playing other people's levels. Not made any of my own yet because I've got to carve out several hours for that. And yeah, so I've got a few ideas for levels though, but one day, just not today.
And it can't be a penis.
Yeah, and
I think can you make one that's like that? Do they let you?
No, it cannot be a penis.
A real shame.
Yeah, I know. For some reason, I don't understand why, but yeah, it's weird.
Because that was the first thing that everyone did in Smash with level creators, was just make penises.
That's the first thing everyone does in any game that you can make stuff in.
Yeah, Nintendo have caught on to us. They understand how we work now.
Level creator Mario Maker is so much more elaborate than Smash as well, so you could get like a really detailed penis.
You could. Made of Goombas, like moving Goombas and stuff.
Oh, God, oh, that's even worse.
you open this kind of worms.
Yeah, this is my fault, I know.
I've also been playing Luminous Remastered, which is a sort of endless puzzle game, similar to Tetris in that sense, but not mechanically. It's like, it's these blocks that drop down, you've got to stack them up into four, and then the blocks disappear, and then they keep coming down. It's fun. I wasn't super into it to start with, but now that I've kind of gotten into the rhythm and the pace of the game and I've gotten better at sort of comboing together different clears, it's getting fun. It's cool.
Luminous was the reason to get a PlayStation Portable.
Yeah, and now it's on Switch, so.
Oh,
good.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely considering it when it gets to a better price point for someone who has limited income and multiple children.
Yeah, well, it was on sale during the Christmas period, which when I picked up, and it was down from like £13 to £7-ish pounds, so I got a good deal.
It's okay, it's not bad, that, to be fair.
I've also played through God of War 3 Remastered, which was on PlayStation Now. Yeah, PlayStation Now, that's what it's called. Because for some reason, there was like a promotion for a 7-day free trial. And I'd already used my 7-day free trial years ago, just try it out. But out of curiosity, I was like, will this work? And it did. So I just downloaded God of War 3 and played through it, which I've never done before. And it was okay. I'm not a massive God of War fan, to be honest. I don't think they're that good compared to like Devil May Cry or Bayonetta.
I agree.
It's out of the... I've played 1 and 2 as well, and I think it's better than those. But I don't think it's that amazing or anything. It's fun. It was a fun game.
What makes it better than 1 and 2?
So I think one of the big things about God of War has always been the spectacle, right? Mm. And 3 just has that over 1 and 2, with it being on originally a PlayStation 3 game as opposed to a PlayStation 2 game and stuff. But yeah. And the combat's a little bit tighter, I think, as well. And the weapons are kind of interesting. But yeah, it's enjoyable enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
Lastly, I played through Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, which I wrote a review for the site. And basically, to sum up my view, it's pretty like close to the source material, and which is good. And there's a lot of reference and love for the source material, but I just don't think the game is that interesting to play through.
The hesitation. So is it the same as like all the Dragon Ball? Like they tend to be very similar.
I mean, not... In what way are you asking, is it the same?
Well, I assume it is the same story, but I mean, is it the same? Is it what's different gameplay wise this time around? Because I see it sometimes referred to as an RPG, which is as far from what the normal Dragon Ball Z game could possibly be called.
It's an action RPG with open world elements, and the RPG elements are definitely extremely well, they're quite limited. It's not like you're building up Goku to be like, it's not like you have these huge branching paths of how you can build up characters and stuff. It's like, oh, you can level up a bit and learn some new moves, and yeah.
Oh, it's just literally a fighting game with a level up system on?
Well, it's not really a fighting game because a fighting game usually has depth. So
some of them don't.
Okay, yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, that's definitely Dragon Ball Z fighting games don't have depth. But anyway, I digress. It's fine. I'd just like to point out
that Bandai don't like people saying it's anything open world about Kakarot. It has open areas. I've been told on more than one occasion by Bandai.
Wait, so it's not open world. There are just some areas that are big, is basically what they want us to say.
Yeah, basically. You have a large open area, and then you fly up, and then you can select a different large open area to fly to.
I guess the idea of open world is different to the idea of an open area. Like, Breath of the Wild is open world because you can go off and do whatever you want. In Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, can you just go off and do whatever you want, or can you, like, fly around the particular area that is big and then move on to the next one?
It's difficult because there are parts where some parts of it are gated, there are other parts where you can sort of dick around in all these different areas. So, well, yeah, when they say open world, I don't mean like a GTA sandbox kind of game, but there's sort of open areas and explorative elements to it, and yeah, it's not like a completely linear game, but anyway, yeah, I just think Kakarot's okay, it's fine. I didn't hate it, I didn't love it either. If you're a Dragon Ball Z fan and you see it like, I don't know, cheap in 6 months' time, then yeah, you can do worse, but yeah, anyway, that's all been blank.
What I liked about it when I previewed it is it goes through the main story of Dragon Ball Z. I couldn't tell if it did any of the filler arcs, but it kind of expands on things slightly. Like you see Raditz talking to Nappa and Vegeta before he arrives on Earth, and things like that, and it's got a lot of deep cuts, but it's not a deep game.
Yeah, I kind of touched upon that in my review when I said there's a lot of sort of obscure characters, especially in side missions. Like there's Android 8 from the original series and the arm and stuff. Yeah, like I said, it's not. it's got some cool references, but they only do so much.
so does it have like new content that fans would be really excited to get hold of? Like you're saying, like stuff that doesn't happen in the anime, manga maybe? Or
Nothing that's going to make fans like lose their mind, no. It's nothing too exciting.
Just a side conversation here or there.
Yeah, basically.
Cool. And anything other games?
No, that's all of them.
Okay, Velt, what about you?
Oh, so I've been playing the, as per usual, some mobile gacha stuff. Dissidia, Final Fantasy, Opera Omnia, and Fire Emblem Heroes. We have got we're getting our second global exclusive character in Dissidia Final Fantasy Opera Omnia. Usually all the characters are released in Japan like however long beforehand, and then released over here. And this time we actually got I think about a year ago for the first anniversary of the global release, we got Beatrix from Final Fantasy IX released over here, which was the global exclusive character. And now we've got Aranea Highwind from Final Fantasy XV also being released in our global area, global market, which is fun.
She was a pretty good waifu.
I guess so. Beatrix, I guess people were quite waifu-y about. I don't know if people are particularly waifu-y in the Dissidia gacha. It's kind of, maybe. My friend is a bit with Terra and stuff like that, but not. Yeah, I don't know. It's not as like, so I see you guys playing Azur Lane and stuff where it is literally boat waifus, isn't it? And
yes.
It's a slightly bit different. It's a slight bit of a different kind of game than that. Although Fire Emblem Heroes is kind of just sort of waifu bait. Which they also have a vote for your legend going on at the moment. You get to vote for your favorite characters and then they will be given away one of four for free. At the start of whenever that ends. We've had a few favourites in there, like Lin from Fire Emblem on Game Boy Advance and stuff like that. So exciting times for gacha users. Also been playing a bit of a game called Horus that was free on the Epic Game Store recently. It's a sort of side-scrolling platformer, kind of Metroid-y, Metroidvania-y in times as well. Made by 505 Games produced it. Really, really British game. Like, it is the most British game I can think of in terms of humor and the way it works. You basically play as a little robot man called Horus, who is built into the world by a peculiar old man who is trying to show off Horus as the sort of, I guess, killing machine. But you kind of experience the game through Horus and all of his confused mannerisms and as he gets to know this world and cast of characters, which is genuinely very funny. There's one character who always does a pull my finger joke to Horus, and Horus is just sat there like, I don't understand the joke. Where's the joke here? Genuinely a very funny game inspired by stuff like Douglas Adams, and yeah, honestly, I couldn't recommend it. Was free. I'm not sure if it's still free on the Epic Game Store.
Sorry, you just said you couldn't recommend it.
I couldn't not recommend it.
And then went
it.
Into the next.
I think I said I couldn't recommend it more. I don't know. Maybe. Definitely recommend it.
On this side, it sounded like you couldn't recommend it. And
I couldn't recommend it. I couldn't recommend it if you don't like good games.
Right. We apologize to any heads that have exploded as a result of listening to this podcast. If this has happened to you, please dial 999 if you are in the UK and whatever emergency number is relevant for your country.
I don't know all of them. I know a few emergency numbers. Not all, not a lot, just a few.
Have you played anything else?
I did play started playing Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon, which was a DS remake of the original Fire Emblem. The one with Marth. People will know of Marth. He is
the bad swordsman in Super Smash Brothers.
The blue one. Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the blue ones.
Yeah.
In Smash Bros. Yeah, his game. He is the first character from Fire Emblem, the first main hero in Fire Emblem. And he had a good DS remake of that game. With sort of, I'm not gonna say it has all the luxuries of a modern Fire Emblem game, but it's definitely graphically improved in any way from the NES days. Mm. Which is nice. It's nice, good fun.
This released in the UK, or did you have to import it?
It was released in the UK. Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon is one of the few. It's had a tricky sort of series overall. No, yeah, this one was released in the UK on the DS, so it is something you could get. I don't know if I'd recommend it for people who aren't into the series. There are definitely better entry points than this DS version, because it feels very old fashioned. It doesn't come with any of the interesting sort of like support conversations and stuff like that. But it is still enjoyable from what I've played so far. I'm enjoying it anyway. And yeah, I've been playing a bit of Magic the Gathering Arena, which is an online card game thing that people play.
Which people? Never even heard of it.
People who like cards but don't have the money to collect them.
Myself, I've of course been playing Azur Lane. There's an event going on, so.
Who is your boat waifu, Ace?
Z23 is best girl.
Z23. I'm gonna have to look at this waifu now. Carry on while I Google search your waifu.
She's in the anime a little bit. I enjoy those scenes. She speaks with a German accent because she's a German boat.
German destroyer. I literally just got the actual boat. Didn't realize that they were named after actual boats.
Yes.
And then I just Googled Z23, and then there was Z23, German destroyer. Ah.
Yes. That
okay.
Correlate to actual things, except for like a lot of the event boats are like not, because there was Ai-chan, who's a Vocaloid star.
I know Ai-chan. And she's not Vocaloid, is she? Isn't she? Is she? I don't know. She's like a virtual YouTuber. She's really funny.
Yeah, same thing.
Sort of, yeah.
The girls from the Hyper Neptunia games were part of a special event. But anyway, the publisher of Azur Lane, YoStar, has just brought out Arknights a couple of weeks ago. So I've been giving that a bit of a go, but it's a tower defense game, and I'm not a big fan of tower defense games. Also, the characters, because it's men and women this time, don't have cute outfits, so I'm not that interested.
Is it just the women you're into?
No, it's the outfits.
The outfits. Okay, fair enough.
They're all bundled.
Do you get to change their outfits? I saw a few things just googling the girl there. Did they change the outfits in the game then?
You can put me use different skins.
Okay.
Currently in Arcanites, there's only a handful of so it's captured or you have to complete events or certain quests or marry them.
Do they get a wedding dress if you marry them?
Some of them do. Yes.
How only some of them?
Because otherwise they'd need to make like 400 wedding dress outfits.
Fire Emblem Heroes isn't this lazy. Every Fire Emblem Heroes character has they had bridal outfits for a bunch of them. Even characters that weren't released, they got released, especially with a bridal outfit for a special event. I think it might have been Valentine's Day for all the people who, want to be with their waifus.
Well, Arcanites, I'm probably going to drop it because, as I say, it's tower defense. I'm not big on tower defense. There's some base building stuff that's kind of like Fallout Shelter. You've got to assign your characters into the roles to find gold and then sell the gold. And I don't know. A lot of it's complicated. It's just been tapping through. Oh, this is the base. Yeah. Whatever.
What's the normal gameplay like in Azur Lane? Is it an RPG or is it? I'd say RPG. I mean, like turn-based combat sort of thing.
No, in Azur Lane, your team is traveling right. Enemy ships are coming from the left, and you can you move them up and down and left and right in the screen area to avoid blasts and to line up your blasts. You've got a few special attacks, like send some planes to do a bombing run, or when your destroyers fire their guns.
Oh, okay.
And once you've defeated the enemy fleet, you go on to the next one until you meet the boss, and then you go through the fleet, have a boss fight where it's got health bars rather than just one health bar. It's got multiple, depending on which level you're at. And you can level up your girls, give them different weapons, upgrade the weapons, and all sorts of stuff.
Much fun.
It also has a auto mode, so you just tap auto, and then you just do something for 2 or 3 minutes while it goes through the fleet, and then tap to go to the next fleet. That may have been what I was doing before the podcast.
That's fair enough. Got to do your dailies. Got to get your dailies in.
Yeah, definitely. Especially during an event. I went back to Noita. I didn't play it the week before, so I've played it this past week. I was playing it every single day at one point, so it's just gone onto the back burner. I've returned to Yakuza 0. Played it last week. Played it this week. I'm in Chapter 4 now. I haven't played much of it. A lot of side quests, like play the UFO gacha thing to grab a red squirrel, and then you give it to the kid, and then she wants a blue squirrel, so you go and get that one.
I've seen some incredible side quests in the Yakuza games previously, just not from playing them, but from other people telling me about them. There's some incredible writing, is what I'd say.
Yes, I can't wait.
They're really funny, honestly.
Well, in Yakuza 0, one of the side quests has you... Basically, you come across this dominatrix who's being told off by a client because she's not dominatrix enough, so you have to help the dominatrix become more assertive. So if this is 0, then what the hell's going to happen by like Yakuza 4.
Gonna say right now, from the Yakuza games played, which 0, Kwame and Kwame 2, 0 is the peak.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
I know it wasn't the first made, but it is the recommended first game that you should play.
It's a prequel.
Well, yeah.
Sort of.
But some prequels, you have to play after the
yes
the games. Also been playing Dauntless. Just got all of the, well, the hunt pass is going to reset on Thursday. Well, I say reset. There's going to be a new hunt pass on Thursday, so I'm looking forward to that. Probably won't play it tomorrow or Thursday until the update, but because I've done everything that I can without having to just grind for stuff to upgrade weapons. And of course, Dead or Alive Venus, Extreme Venus Vacation.
Wait, you're still playing that?
I'm still quote unquote playing that.
Yeah, quote unquote playing that. What drew you back?
At 7 p.m., it lets you get a new swim costume and you set them jobs, the girls' jobs to do, which gives them points so you can buy furniture for the room that you can then pose them on. I haven't tried posing them because I'm not interested in that bit. I just want to play enough of the game so I can write about it. I've got like 4 hours in it currently because there's the amount of points, flower points or something it uses to so you can do a volleyball match. You have a limited amount until your owner level goes up. So I'm just burning through those so quickly. So play it for like 10 minutes, burn through all those because start match, skip match, click, 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 start another match, skip match. So a couple of times a day, just burn through all of the points and then do the gachas if it's reset by then and turn it off. Do something else with my time.
Don't do it yet. There's nothing to play in the game, so yeah.
No, it's just wait until you have enough points to do another thing. Last one that I've been playing this week was Snakey Bus.
So you tweet about that?
I did tweet about it. I basically said that I stole it from Steam. How did I steal? Because the prices of steel, because it was like just over £1. It's usually it was on sale. It's usually like £7 or something.
Oh, that is a really good deal then.
It's basically Snake, but you're a bus and it's in third person and you're driving around cities. And well, the first level is a bedroom, but there's multiple cities and it gets mad. You can. As you're driving around, your boost bar is filling, and that's not boosters in speed. That's boosters in jump.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I don't. This breaks the rules of Snake.
So you end up getting long enough that you're having to jump over yourself, or just drive on top of yourself.
Wait, you can drive on top of yourself?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's not if you crash into yourself it ends. It's if you crash into yourself and you can't like wriggle out of it or jump over or something within like 3 seconds, I think it is, then end. And your passengers all go flying. May have had a good laugh when that happened the first time.
It sounds like a bit of fun anyway, yeah.
It's crazy. The reason they dropped the price, it was just before the Steam Lunar sale or Lunar New Year sale. The reason they dropped the price is because they have now included a multiplayer mode. So obviously there were more people playing it. So I'm definitely going to get around to playing some more of that.
Do you play the multiplayer yet?
No, not yet.
Mm.
The reason I said that was the last game I played this week is because, well, in the last podcast, I couldn't talk about some games that I played last week. Now the embargo's dropped. So last week I went to Bandai Namco and checked out Captain Tsubasa, the new contender, whatever it's called. It's that a football one. Game. I can't remember. It's a pretty good football game because it's kind of action-y because it's based on a pretty popular manga that's been running since 1981. So you do a power kick and it zooms into your character and it does a animation with like there's the outline of a tiger behind you as you're kicking, and then the goalie grabs the ball and it's still spinning in his hands and he's struggling against the power of it, and it might go past him or he might just managed to.
Oh wow! That sounds so anime.
Oh yes, definitely. It was hilarious. At one point, because I was there with Editor-in-Chief Rasher, I played two matches against him. I won because he's awful. He spent most of the match just trying to hack me down with a tackle button.
I tend to resort to that in football games when I don't know what I'm doing.
I mean, neither of us are football fans or football game fans, so we're both doing that pretty much. I just had the ball.
It kind of sounds like the Mario football games.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, how similar is it to like Mario Strikers and stuff like that?
I've not played that because, again, not into football.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, cool.
At one point, the goalie ran out to grab the ball just as I kicked it with a powered-up shot, and the goalie was like 3 meters away from the goal and then all of a sudden had caught the ball.
Oh no.
In the goal.
In the goal. So does that count as a goal then?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, it's mad. Other games I played, One Punch Man, A Hero Nobody Knows. That's I went in expecting just a fighting game, but it's got like open areas that you run around really the city taking side quests and fetch quests and stuff like that, and raising your hero ranking.
I didn't know that though. So is that just like a single player sort of thing, or is there, well, I mean, the like open world modes, is it just sort of a are there other players in that area, or?
It feels as though there should be other players. I had the option to play it online, but obviously the PlayStation 4 was not connected to the internet, so I could not play it online. But the option was there, so I think it's that sort of thing. Like, there's multiple heroes running around doing the same things.
Okay.
But I can't say for sure. You have a room that you can decorate. One of the main gameplay features is that sometimes when you're in a fight, you have multiple people that you can swap to as and when you want. But sometimes those people aren't there yet. So you have a window in the corner of the screen which shows them running or cycling.
Oh, does it happen with other characters? I saw some of the gameplay where some people had picked like characters, and it was only Saitama, One Punch Man himself, who was sort of running to the battle because he's too overpowered. If he was there at the start, then it would be over in one punch.
He
is the other characters.
Tank Top Tiger and something Rider, I forgot his name.
Moon Rider.
That's it. Are two that I played with, and they run to join you, and then when they get there, they leap in, punch or kick or crash into the enemy dealing damage, and then jump off to the side until you need them. Obviously, when it's Saitama, he arrives, punches the thing, and that's the end of the match.
Although, funnily enough, I did see on the demo what would happen if two Saitamas got in the ring together, and neither of them die to one punch. Basically, they're one punch with everyone but another Saitama.
That actually makes a lot of sense.
It does make sense. I was wondering, like, what happens if both players pick Saitama? Is it just the person who gets the first Saitama wins? But no, they do actually have. I'd say it's a proper fight. It's more like Saitama has like one punch built into him, so they're just there one punching each other until eventually the health goes down.
It sounds like a cool game. It's an interesting way to adapt One Punch Man into a game. I think fans of it will probably get a kick out of it, it sounds like.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. That's what I said in our preview.
I thought it was hilarious.
It's definitely made me want to watch the anime.
Oh, it's a good anime if you're into sort of like, basically if you're into sort of as is sort of shonen battle kind of manga and anime stuff, One Punch Man's really funny because it kind of takes that and twists it on its head. So it's good to see that it kind of does the same thing with the fighting genre as well.
Right, the other two games I checked out while I was there, My Hero One's Justice 2. I did not play the first one, and I couldn't experience any of the story, but it's supposed to be 3v3, but it's actually one person, and you can call in the others to do an attack once their meter's gone up.
Oh, so you can't even switch between them?
No, right. So it's 1v1. It's all right. I'm not a big fighter fan, but yeah, I had some fun with it. There's a video up on our YouTube channel for all of these games, but
it's a 3D one. Arena fighter.
Yeah, yes. I believe so.
And, yeah, and okay, you can, so like, knock them through the floor or the wall of certain things.
Those kind of games.
Yeah. And the last one I played was Sword Art Online Alicization Lycoris. And I had access to two scenes. One was go to this place and fight this big monster. The other was fight a boss. And both were timed. So if I didn't defeat them in the time, then tough. And I did, if you look at the video on YouTube, I did not defeat either of these enemies.
Oh, okay. Is it, so I've seen some of the old Sword Art Online games. Is it same, the is it an action RPG sort of thing?
It is an action RPG.
In the guise of an MMO.
I've played the first two Sword Art Online games on PlayStation 4. It's not like those.
Oh, okay.
The fighting is a lot more involved. There's magic attacks and sword art attacks, as well as normal slashing attacks. Well, quote unquote normal attacks, like hard and soft, and that. You have to use certain attacks in certain situations. Like if the enemy is blocking, you have to use a magic attack, and then you have to use a sword art to do extra damage. It's a lot of it went over my head because there was absolutely no tutorial, and apart from showing me the controls beforehand, it was not very noob friendly. I'd like to see what happened if you did defeat those things, so I'll probably check out that. There were like 20 people there, all with their own YouTube content, so I'm probably gonna have a look around to see if anyone did much better than I did. You can swap between members of the party. For some reason, it would only let me swap between two members of the party rather than all four, but that, I don't know if that's because of where it was in the game, or
whether you were doing something wrong, or whether it's
I wasn't doing something wrong. It's just one button swap, and it just swapped between the two.
Sound like it was just a gating thing then for that part of the game.
Maybe, yeah.
Also, the I ran out of health for both characters and didn't fail.
Is that because the other two characters in your party were alive?
No, I think it's because, well, when I was going against the boss, there was only two characters and I could swap between those two, and they both also ran out of health and I didn't fail. I think that's because it's such an early look at the game. But it's coming out in May, so don't know how early the code is. This has gone on far longer than it should have. Talking about games we've been doing.
I'm sorry, I'm inquisitive.
Oh, you are so inquisitive. Hopefully you've learned some stuff about some videos you're going to watch on the Game Green YouTube channel.
Yes.
We got a couple of new stories involving courts. To kick us off, the Riot Games back in December were told to pay $10 million to approximately 1,000 women who had worked at Riot between November 2014 and December 2019, who had been discriminated against because of their gender. This is going back to court because the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing filed a document earlier this month proposing that the women in question were owed a lot more than Riot had agreed upon. A lot more meaning $400 million. Now, obviously, if you're one of these women, the difference of a share of $10 million to a share of $400 million is quite substantial.
Mm.
I'm, of course, not saying that they should not get more. Riot, however, are.
Of course, they would be likely to say, no, you're not allowed more of our...
Apparently, Riot spokesperson Joe Hickson claimed that Riot worked hard to negotiate with the lawyer representing the class to reach an agreement that they collectively believe is fair for the class members. But they are particularly dismayed that the filing downplays and ignores the efforts that they've made with respect to diversity, inclusion, and culture over the past 18 months. So because of the changes they made over the past 18 months, women they discriminate against over the past 4 years are not entitled to money? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that's basically what they're saying is that, yeah, we did this bad stuff, but we're trying to get better now, maybe a little bit. So lay off is kind of what, I think that's kind of what they're saying.
Well, the a judge is going to preside over this case February 3rd. So we'll probably be talking about it again next week.
Yeah, it's not too long off, is it? I assume we'll get the news through pretty much as is.
The second court case, a Pennsylvania man has taken Jagex to court. Jagex is the UK developer behind RuneScape. And this person of Exton, Pennsylvania, claimed that he had invested 2,000 hours in a game before he'd been muted. And Jagex denied his appeal of the muting without telling him why. So he took them to court. And then it was dismissed, so he took them to circuit courts, which is a higher level of American judicial system.
No. He doesn't stop.
Basically, he says that he received unequal treatment compared to all other players who are not muted, and feels that he was discriminated against. This is not the first time this man has been to court. He claimed that he was scammed by Tinder and wanted whatever the jury deems he should be allowed. And it seems this guy is a total mess. He keeps going to court over
silly things. Basically, he's trying it on, isn't he? He's trying it on. I don't know what, like, I am assuming he was muted for a reason. He wasn't just muted.
You would think so. We don't know what, we know game what that he was reason playing, is. But it's Jagex, so the amount of games is limited.
Yeah, yeah, probably with RuneScape and CSWAV or something, and then I'll swap numerous times and kept getting muted over and over, whatever.
But yeah, this guy has filed 10 lawsuits in the last year and a half. He represents himself. Most of his paperwork is handwritten.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it says it in that news story that I linked, and in one of the other, in the Tinder one as well.
What? Honestly, I think he's just going to prison for wasting the court's time numerous times over and over. Like,
I mean, that is a valid charge. He's not going to stop, is he?
It's ridiculous.
But on a lighter note, Valve have decided...
That is pretty light. That's a joke.
That's pretty funny.
to be fair, I did put that in the running order so that it would buffer between the gender discrimination, which could have gotten a bit... dark if we'd detailed things. But yes, Valve, to celebrate Half-Life Alyx coming out in March, have released every Half-Life game free on Steam. That's free to play, not free to keep.
Yes, I saw that.
Until April, so you can experience the whole story.
I still need to do that. You said it was free, and I was like, "Oh, I'll get it." And then I realized that it was something. I was like, "Oh, I'll buy them and download them so I can play them at my leisure." But I realized I couldn't really do that. It was not free to keep. It was just you played them. And then I was like, "Oh, I'll do it at some point." So I still need to get around to that.
Weirdly, this also includes Team Fortress Classic, which I played back in 1999. So I don't feel the need to play it anymore.
It could do some nostalgia fun.
Yeah, I suppose.
We'll have all your hats.
So that's Half-Life 1 Source, the Opposing Force and Blue Shift expansions, which don't have a Source version. Half-Life 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and Half-Life Episode 2, where you will then be left with a cliffhanger.
Forever, unless you buy the Alyx. I assume Alyx isn't going to just continue the story.
Alyx is a prequel to Half-Life 2.
Oh, okay.
you play as Alyx before Gordon Freeman had been woken up in the future.
Okay. Have we all played? I've not played Half-Life, but I assume other people have.
Yes. I bought the first game and its two expansions in a big chunky box in 1999.
Oh. Have you played Half-Life, Franchoff?
I haven't, no. It's, you know, at this point, I think it might be the only, like, big seminal franchise that I've just not touched at all.
Hmm.
But it's great. It was
and free now.
It was fantastic when it first came out. It was genre-defining.
I know, I mean, I have no aversion to playing Amicious. I've not got around to it, it's basically...
I remember having a demo for the PS2 version when I was a kid. Because I was sort of like early teens when the game came out on PS2. And I didn't dislike the demo that I played, but I just never got with the game. I've played both Portal games, so I assume I should probably play Half-Life at some point. I've played Team Fortress as well. I got the orange box and I just missed off all the Half-Life content off the orange box and only played Portal and Team Fortress. Maybe I should play some Half-Life, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, something that you might have played. It's been revealed that Atelier Ryza is on its way to beat Atelier Sophia as the best hit Atelier game ever. Overseas, that is. At least
is this in terms of sales numbers, or...?
Yes, according to sales numbers. Dow Jones Newswire. It talks about how Koei Tecmo's efforts to expand overseas are paying off because Atelier Ryza, Ever Darkness, and The Secret Hideout sold 190,000 copies worldwide in the December quarter, bringing total sales since September to over 350,000. So that's about half sold in December, well, between September and December. Comedy adds, it'll probably be the best hit Atelier game, beating the franchise sales records of 370,000 set by Atelier Sophia, the Alchemist of the Mysterious Book. And this is the franchise of the long titles.
Yeah, these are all just words now, aren't they? I'm unfortunate that I know this, played it myself. I have a friend who's very into them, though. He loves them.
I know Nikki's played a bunch of them, if not all of them, so it's unfortunate that she couldn't make it to the podcast today to give us a better idea of its franchise. Are you familiar with the franchise?
No. To be quite honest, I have no interest in another JRPG series that has names this long and games that are this long.
I've seen the opening cutscenes of a few of the older ones. I've seen people take the mick out of the opening cutscenes of some of the older ones, is what I mean to say.
Are they not good, or...?
They're just awkward in that sort of anime way. Specifically, like, sort of, I think they were, like, old PlayStation, maybe PS3, like, early PS3 games. There's sort of that very awkward JRPG of that era. Specifically in the cutscenes, where it's not got the best voiceover, particularly in English dub, and you know it's all sort of little girls and magic alchemy and stuff.
You were almost a Jill sandwich.
It's not quite that level of awful. But
I mean, at least that's like endearing. Like that's at least got meme potential now.
Now.
Oh, okay. Always did. I don't know. Yeah. But I mean, what you described to me is like, little anime girls with magic stuff. That's like massive red flags to me to never want to touch this franchise in any capacity.
It's not one of those fan service-y bouncing boobs up skirts all the time.
No. Yeah. It's particularly not one of those kind of things. They're too young for that.
All right, okay. We've got some dignity here, people.
I think the games look really good from all the screenshots I've seen. Problem is the price of them. They never dip below a certain price point, and that certain price point is where I would probably buy.
Yeah, they tend to be quite rare games.
20, 50, maybe 15, but
They tend to be quite uncommon games at the very least. Like, I know my friends sort of basically has to pre-order them because sometimes if you want to get them physically from a retailer, it won't carry enough stock to reach everyone who might want that game.
I mean, they're niche, right? At least over here.
Yeah, they are. They're quite niche over here. I mean, they are. So JRPGs are a niche genre, and this is like niche for JRPGs. that's how it kind of goes. It's more like it's an alchemy game more than a JRPG. It's kind of like collection based, and lots of side quests, and not a lot of main story from what I've heard.
Nikki's talked about them in the past. There's a time mechanic. Everything you do takes time, like go somewhere, oh, it's half a day, and do this, it's a day and a half, that sort of thing.
I kind of like that aspect, but I just really hate the aesthetic of little anime girls and
magical girls,
bright colors, and yeah, it's not my kind of thing.
To be fair, there are some magical girls.
Link's Awakening. What little anime magical girls? Link's Awakening.
It was all cutesy and anime.
It was cutesy, but it was endearing. It was cutesy with a tack to it, an endearing tack to it.
Uh-huh. It's more claymation than like anime. Yeah, though. It's not quite Madoka Magica.
I mean, this is getting off the course even more. Isn't Madoka Magica like kind of like a subversion of that, though, from what I've heard?
Yeah. Madoka Magica is like particularly dark as a contrast to the sort of kawaii
way
nature. Yeah. Right. There are lots of things that do that. I don't think Atelier is quite in that vein. I don't know, though. Could be.
Speaking of things that don't look good.
Oh, no.
I found this on the Stadia subreddit.
Oh, no.
The Stadia has officially gone 40 days as of yesterday without a new game announcement or release, a feature update, or a real community update. It's been out for 69 days.
Saw some stuff on Twitter before, though. These games might have already been announced, actually, but I think some more games coming to it soon.
They've announced that 120 games are coming, but they haven't revealed which games they are.
Wait, what?
Metro...
There are 120 games. Don't know what ones, though.
Yeah.
Second tier. Because I did see this before my timeline, but took no notice of it because Stadia, so, you know.
In February, they have announced the pro games that are coming in February.
Okay, so that's what's up then, yeah.
Do we know what they are? What are they?
Rereading this, it says... as expected, there haven't been any further updates in January after the quote-unquote 120-game mystery bonanza, and then in parentheses, other than February pro games, which we still don't know.
We don't know.
Devon, this was 4 hours ago on the official Twitter account, Jilt, it's G-Y-L-T, and Metro Exodus, so both coming in February.
Oh, so...
Is Metro Exodus the first one? No, that's Metro something else.
That's the most recent.
Exodus, please, one. Yeah. Welcome to the team. No additional charge February 1st, so they're coming in a few days, or a week, I guess-ish. No, a little bit less.
Well, this subreddit is run by Google, because the moderators...
Metro Exodus, no more. Literally, that's it. It is literally just Jilt and Metro Exodus. There's nothing else in February.
The subreddit moderators all have Google in their username. So is one of the community managers or moderators is called Grace from Google, for instance. So it seems that they've seen this and said and thought, oh, maybe we should announce that we've got games coming out in 3 days.
and also Rise of the Tomb Raider and Samurai Showdown leave Stadia Pro at the end of January.
Oh, I didn't know games were going to be leaving.
It says the Stadia Pro library, which is the premium subscription for the streaming service. So it looks to be that Jilt and Metro Exodus are the free games coming to Stadia Pro February, and they're cycling out to older games, which are Rise of the Tomb Raider and Samurai Showdown, meaning the only games you get with the subscription are Jilt, Metro Exodus, Destiny 2 The Collection, Farming Simulator 19 Platinum Edition, and Thumper.
Incidentally, Farming Simulator 19 is going to be the free game on Epic on Thursday.
Well, there we go. It doesn't sound like a...
No.
It's a bit of a mess, isn't it?
It is. This post goes on to say that, that the Pixel phone is still the only Android phone, or actually the only phone with a Stadia functionality, because there's no mention of iOS. There's no mention of a base for the Stadia. I don't care. No mention of family sharing, and the daily updates have been scrapped for weekly updates, and then which have been scrapped for bi-monthly updates? Question mark.
Fair enough. I must also say the game Jilt is the new one by Tequila Softworks. It is the exclusive for the Stadia. Says it's a little bit like a sort of a horror puzzle kind of thing, but maybe sort of for kids.
Oh, well, just it'll be getting kind of reading the a couple hundred there. Thousand players when it comes out, at least.
Yeah. Although I'm assuming that it will, because Tequila Softworks are actually pretty cool. I really enjoyed their last game, which was Rhyme. And this game doesn't look to be as good as Rhyme. It's looking at 68% on Metacritic at the moment. But I assume that game would do a lot better if it wasn't on the Stadia.
Well, I hope they got an exclusivity deal, because that's the only way they're going to make money until they release on other platforms, because Stadia doesn't have the numbers, really.
No, it doesn't. So, I mean, Tequila Softworks are not owned by anyone either, are they? They're just sort of, yeah, they're a private held company. So, it's not great. I hope nothing bad happens to them. They're nice.
All indie developers are nice.
Yeah.
Except for the ones making Trump games for some reason.
I mean, we can't say that they're not nice. I've never met any of them.
Okay, there's very fine people on both sides. On that note, this is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, and an even bigger thank you for subscribing, whether it's via Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or our RSS feed. You can leave a review on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, or post a cheeky comment on GameGrim.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch too. And while you're at it, game on.